guacamole.
Tom Brady is balling.
Caught ball. Touchdown, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tom Brady, you are the man. You are the GOAT.
Brady's still going, winning another Super Bowl, 7 Super Bowl titles.
You're a legend, man. Congrats, man.
First quarterback in NFL history to throw a damn touchdown on water.
Yeah, but I'm feeling alive. I feel like the greatest.
Well, he's got 7, but I'm willing to bet that Brady wants more. We'll tell you in moments why an extension for Brady actually means the Bucs are prioritizing bringing others back for another Super Bowl run. Welcome to NFL Live, everybody. Later, the reason someone says Washington should make a run at Deshaun Watson, and Deshaun should listen. You see him right there, Field Yates, Jeff Saturday, Marcus Spears here. Let's get right to it, guys. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that I think Tom Brady enjoyed his time in Tampa this year a lot. So he would actually be 44 when he'd become a free agent again after next season. But maybe the Bucs will just extend him now. Bucs GM Jason Light joined the Rich Eisen show and was asked about extending Brady's contract. Take a listen.
That's a possibility. He's certainly didn't look like he slowed down any this year. It appears that he really had a good time this year, winning the Super Bowl, and likes our organization, likes our coaches, likes our head coach and ownership, and we certainly love him. So usually when you have those two things going for each other, it's a match made in heaven. So we'd like to keep this going.
Okay, so the Buccaneers are on the hook for just over $28 million in cap charges for Tom Brady's contract next season. And Brady will be responsible for 17% of the team's cap space, the fifth highest rate among quarterbacks next year. But as we look forward to a possible contract extension, it's hard to argue with the results, right? And somehow, Brady might still be underpaid going on 44 years old next season. So, Field Yates, you think this is actually a no-brainer for both sides?
Yeah, I can see why that's the case, Laura. So the case for the player is pretty simple, right? If you're a player who has an opportunity to gain even further financial security, and by all accounts, Tom Brady loves playing for the Buccaneers, then yeah, that's great, right? If you can tack on an extra year at $30 million as an example, wonderful. But this has double-barreled impact that I think is really noteworthy right now as the Bucs look to retain their core. They have the ability to sign Tom Brady to an extension that could also restructure his cap number for the 2021 league year. You just showed how it could be around 17% of the projected cap. You could sign him to a one-year extension and drop that percentage actually precipitously. And so Tom Brady being extended through 2022 could give the Buccaneers extra cap space, which will be essential when you have all of the free agents that they have, led by the likes of Chris Godwin, Shaq Barrett, Lavonte David, Antonio Brown, and a cast of others that are important to their core.
Yeah, we're like 2 minutes in, and Field has dropped a precipitously, which really caught Marcus Spears' attention. Marcus, do you believe that Brady can continue to produce at this level?
Yes, I do, Els, and I relate to Tom Brady producing at a high level. You know, years when people think he's past his prime. I do it every day. Every time I put this suit jacket on, a nice shirt, these glasses. Hey, y'all, I got an announcement to make, too. My wife cut my hair yesterday.
Oh.
It was the first time. I was nervous as
nice.
Hell. It came out well. And I also got to make another public service announcement because we're going to use the show to do it. Phil Yates' new nickname,
He
shall be called this name by Swagoo for the rest of time, is Babyface Yates. That's his new nickname, America.
Yes, sir.
So y'all get used to it, because Babyface Yates is here to stay.
Marcus,
right.
I thought, Marcus, Hell, really fast, I thought that Field looked really hairy today. I got to be honest.
Well, you know.
Now, when, be careful
you,
now.
You on that yak,
guys.
Then.
I have feelings,
you full of
too.
That yak.
Go ahead, Marcus.
Phil, you look good, man. I'm trying to look that young. Yes, he can.
Ells. I appreciate you.
Back
swagging.
To Tom Brady, the quarterback. You're welcome, sir. Back to Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Bucs. Yes, he can do that again. You know why? Because he's insulated. It's the same thing I've been talking about what Pittsburgh needs to do for Ben Roethlisberger. He has his tight ends. He has his wide receivers. They developed a run game. His check down game came back to life with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as this offense started to morph into what we've seen Tom Brady have the ability to do. He still can push the ball downfield, strong arm. He posted a video or a picture, was already back to work getting ready for next season. But I believe the way this team is constructed, helps Tom Brady in a major way based on his age and his ability to play into his mid-40s. Unbelievable. But they have the right pieces in place for him to thrive around him as well. And O.J. Howard will be back, because I think people forgot that O.J. Howard played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, good point. Another weapon for that offense. All right, Jeff, who is a baby face underneath the beard, if I made you guess how many more years from Brady, what would you say?
I'm going to say two strong years and potentially a third year. And listen, I've already heard Precipitous. I've heard Babyface Yates. NFL Live is picking early.
Yeah.
And Tom Brady is the epitome, of Babyface. This man, he has Benjamin buttoned. I think Ryan Clark said that one day, right? Like, this guy is going the other way. So I do think two or three more years. And to Swagoo's point, man, the best part of what Tampa Bay did was as the season progressed, they got better about protecting Tom Brady. They understood the formula to winning for Tom Brady. That's protect him in the pocket, right? Let him do what he does. His leadership, like where he gets guys, whether it's Fournette, hey, on this route in the flat, here's where I want you. Antonio Brown, hey, welcome to the fold. Here's what I want you on your routes. Mike Evans, hey, man, I know you're not the number one that everybody expected me to be throwing to because we spread the ball around, but you're in, right? Godwin. And he does this so seamlessly, Laura, that he brings everybody into the fold with this football team, and everybody gets better. What does that mean? It means you get buy-in. So 2 years, 3 years, unless there's some kind of, you know, catastrophic injury, which you just do not foresee, because the way they protect quarterbacks in this league, listen, you can handle your business, and he does it at a level. And like Swagoo just said, the guy's already working out again. He's already bored, right? He's already thinking about the next season. For a guy his age, that is absolutely insane. I appreciate it as an old guy watching him, because now I pull for him because he's the old man. I feel like, man, I wish I could still play like that. So it's exciting to watch him, but absolutely two, potentially three.
Yeah, he got bored because all the boat parades were over. He's like, I got to find something to do with my time now. You know, and Marcus, when you think about this, you've got the free agents that are a big part of this. And Phil brought up some good points earlier about this. So, of course, you know, the franchise tag could play in here. We're now inside the period of time where that could happen. But which one should be a priority for the Buccaneers to make sure that they have this particular player on their team next season?
It's Shaq Barrett. Or, look, as much as I love LaVonte David, that I think he should be a high priority, it's Shaq Barrett. We all know the positions of value, right? They have the quarterback. They drafted Wirfs, who played tremendous, out of his mind. So they solidified two of the most important positions on offense. Now you got to get the guy to get after the passer. And then him with JPP as well. But Shaq Barrett proved this, right? Shaq Barrett led the league in sacks the year before. They franchised. He said, okay, cool. I'm going to play under the franchise. I ain't going to make a lot of fuss. And then he went out and showed his butt again throughout this whole NFL season.
Yep.
And most importantly, during the playoff run, he was the catalyst for getting after the quarterback.
Preach.
So Tampa should make that a priority. They have everything else around them in what they need to do from a defensive standpoint. Two of their young budding stars are still in rookie contracts in Winfield Jr. and obviously Devin White. Take care of Shaq Barrett. Figure out a way to get LaVonte David done. But Shaq Barrett should be the priority for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this offseason.
Yeah, you talk about him getting to some quarterbacks in the playoffs. Yeah, one of them was Patrick Mahomes and led to them winning a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Back on NFL Live, Alex Smith, the NFL Comeback Player of the Year, did an interview with GQ, and Smith was asked if they wanted him there this past summer. He said, quote, they didn't see it, didn't want me there, didn't want me to be a part of it, didn't want me to be on the team, the roster, didn't want to give me a chance. Mind you, it was a whole new regime. They came in, I'm like the leftovers, and I'm hurt, and I'm this liability. Now, of course, Smith's story was an incredible one, but Washington is still looking for more out of their quarterback situation, and here's why. Their 7-9 record last season is impressive considering their QBRs by their quarterbacks was 35.8 total, and that was by far the worst mark in the league last season, also the second worst by any team to even scratch out at least four season wins in the QBR era. So each of the other teams in the list went on to make major improvements in their offseasons, including the Vikings, who went out to sign free agent Brett Favre after, as you can see, that tough time at quarterback. So, Field, we already know that Washington made a run at Matt Stafford, so they're looking, right? But what are the realistic options for Washington at quarterback?
Yeah, Laura, I want to start with two truths that I believe to be indisputable. One, what Alex Smith did last year was as inspiring from an athlete as I can recall in terms of comebacks in a long, long time, if not ever. It was incredible. The second one is that almost everything in the world of football during this time of the year is driven by finances. So you have to decide if you're Washington, whether Alex Smith, who's scheduled to have a cap hit of $24.4 million in 2021, is the player that you want to roll out as your starting quarterback again. As inspiring as he was, the reality was this was a team carried by their defense. So if you're going to bring back Alex Smith, you might want to find a way to maybe meet somewhere in the middle on a restructure, because I'm not sure his cap charge of $24.4 million is palatable. Mm-hmm. The trouble is that it's all about opportunity cost as well. Who else is available? And I know that Swagoo and Jeff can tell you that, you know, there is one name or maybe two that's out there that might be a little bit of a pipe dream. But besides that, like, there's not a lot of guys out there that check the box for a starting quarterback for Washington. They're a little bit of a pinch this offseason at the quarterback spot.
Yeah, let's get to maybe one of those one names that Field is referring to. Marcus, do you think Washington needs to make a run for Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do, along with them and a bunch of other teams in the NFL. But I think about the Washington football team from this perspective, right? A young team with a young nucleus, a group of guys in that locker room that are impressionable, that would love for Deshaun Watson to come in and not only be the great player he is, but lead them, right? I love McLaurin on the outside. I thought Logan Thomas did a tremendous job at tight end this year. We saw him have some really good games and good plays. I would definitely make a play at Deshaun Watson with Riverboat Ron there, and obviously what they did from an offensive standpoint was limited. And let me go along with Babyface Yates' sentiments. Like, this is not an indictment on Alex Smith being a bad quarterback. We all know that Alex Smith, barring no injury, would be one of the top quarterbacks in this league based on what he looked like. It's hard to predict future-wise that Alex Smith is going to be the answer based on his injury and the things that he sustained. I give him tremendous credit for coming back. And if he wants to push forward, do it. I'm all for it with Alex Smith. And Washington should be in line to give him that opportunity. But y'all, I'm trading healthy quarterbacks for Deshaun Watson. I'm trading guys that ain't
absolutely
played well in certain places for Deshaun Watson. So definitely I'm gonna put his name in the hat for a young football team that I don't think is far away from being pretty good. If they get Deshaun Watson, they close that gap tremendously as far as being able to contend with a lot of teams in this league.
Yeah, Swagoo, you say it best, right? There should be 22 or more teams in the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes if possible, right? Like, if we're being real, if there's a guy you go leverage the franchise, right? Like, we all understand that's how good he is. I think realistically, from that perspective, I'm not sure that Washington is in that boat. I would look at guys like Sam Darnold, right? Who's with the coaching carousel he has had, with the Jets talking about what they want to do and move forward. A guy like Sam Darnold, again, a young player being brought in under Coach Rivera, who does a fantastic job of developing players and developing teams. I think it's one of the best coaching staffs in the NFL. So as you're looking at this opportunity, I would say a young guy like Sam Darnold. I would say the stretch for me would be a Matt Ryan. Field Yates tells me they can't do it because like a $40 million cap number, which I understand. But bring in a guy that would be a similar to Matt Stafford idea in my book. And again, how would you do it numbers-wise? Not sure if it does work, if Atlanta would eat some of it, how all that stuff would work out. But at the end of the day, those are two guys that I would say Washington also would have their eye on.
Yeah, I think if the Falcons were to move on from Matt Ryan, they would just basically, like the Eagles did with Carson Wentz, concede that you got to take a big pill to swallow and say, hey, it's not a financially driven move. This is about turning the page to the future. One thing that I think is going to be really interesting for the Deshaun Watson situation, it's probably been talked about, but it's worth bringing up again here, Laura, is that, remember, the Texans are intent, as of right now, they're not going to trade Deshaun Watson. The patience of teams around the NFL is going to be put to the test, because even if Houston does eventually trade him, only one team is going to be able to acquire Deshaun Watson. When the free agency period begins, are other teams that would like Deshaun Watson but are not guaranteed him, are they going to be able to wait and play the long game? Or are they going to start to move on other pieces that could be part of this quarterback carousel? Cam Newton, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Sam Darnold, Marcus Mariota as potential trade chips. I think that's going to be a fascinating dynamic of the Deshaun Watson pursuit, is how long are you willing to go to potentially acquire him?
Yeah, and Field, it's such a good point, because you got to think a team that's trying to acquire Deshaun Watson is probably desperate, at least to some degree, so they don't want to be left with nothing. You've got to make a move that at least assures you that you've got some semblance of, you know, security down the road at your quarterback position. It's fascinating.
Ailes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Ailes, I'm glad you reiterated that point, because you brought up something that's very important. And it's something that I've been saying about this Deshaun. Like, this is not normal. I keep telling our viewers that. This is not a normal circumstance. This is likened to the NBA when you have a perennial star that literally affects the landscape of the league. Now, Deshaun is not affecting every team in the NFL, but there's a large majority of teams in this league that have to have Deshaun Watson thoughts in their mind as they get ready for a draft, as they get ready for free agency. So it is difficult. I just thought that was a great point Phil brought up, and you reiterating, Ailes, is that he has a ripple effect around the entire league based on how these teams are going to move around.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So what does the future at quarterback look like in Pittsburgh exactly? And Big Ben, a big part of that, but some people are wondering. So team president Art Rooney II issued this statement on Big Ben this morning, saying, "Ben Roethlisberger and I met yesterday morning. We had a productive meeting. We were able to discuss a lot of things that relate to where we are, where we want to go. Ben assured me that he is committed to coming back and helping us win. And I told Ben that we would like to have him back to help us win a championship. We both understand the next step is to work out Ben's contract situation." I slowed down there a little bit on that last line, Field, because that line is maybe the most important in the statement. Why is that?
100%, Laura, because, all right, I understand that Ben regressed down the stretch, as the team did as well. Those things normally go hand in hand together. But still, if you look at the realistic options for the Steelers right now, the best quarterback available to them for 2021 is Ben Roethlisberger. But if it was as simple as that, their desire plus his desire to return being the solution, this wouldn't even be a conversation right now. That contract is where things get really tricky. You're talking about a two-time Super Bowl winning champion who has been obviously a part of this franchise for his entire career, 17 seasons in total. The question about that contract is probably not, you know, do we just manipulate it so you have the same amount of money owed to you? We just make it a signing bonus as opposed to a base salary. It's probably how much of a pay cut are you willing to take to make this all work? Which, even though Ben has acknowledged he's going to have to restructure his deal, Laura, I just think it's a tricky situation to go to a player, a future Hall of Famer, one of the best players in your franchise's history, and say, "Here's the amount of money we're willing to pay you." And it's probably, if my instincts are correct, not quite as much as he's currently owed, which is north of $19 million for the 2021 season.
Marcus doesn't like the idea of people messing with the man's money. The other thing, too, about this is that doesn't even alleviate the cap hit situation, which is a whole other thing. But, Jeff, do you think that Ben is the right choice for the Steelers at QB?
100% I think he's the right choice. Listen, when you talk about when Phil was saying it, I agree with everything he's talking about the money part, but that he was regressing, I disagree with. I mean, look, this guy threw for 3,800 yards, over 30 touchdowns, I think 10 picks or something like that. This guy manages football team. Their defense got decimated with injury as the season went on, which we know is the cowbell of this football team, right? It's what they hang their hat on. We understand that they had no run game, and really their pass blocking was atrocious. Every Pittsburgh fan is going to tweet me and tell me, oh, look at the PFF numbers or whatever. Nah, bro, go watch the film, right? Like, watch how fast this guy has to get the ball out of his hands to get things done. It is their run game. This and dunk is their run game. They need to get their offensive line fixed and allow Ben to run the football and fall in. This guy can carry them to a championship. I do believe they're one of the AFC teams that has a chance, and it's through Ben Roethlisberger.
Look, Jeff, I'm with you, man, and I understand where you're coming from, but I'm also thinking that Ben is in that same vein where you have to build around him and not ask him to be the Ben Roethlisberger that we all had grown accustomed to. That's on Pittsburgh. That's on the Steelers. Another thing that's on the Steelers is to be in a better position when you have an aging quarterback and you don't have to be in this scenario that you're in where he has to come back, or you just chalking up a year with good players and a good defensive unit. We all got to remember, Bud Dupree got hurt. Devin Bush got hurt on that defense as well. Like, we know the Steelers are a good football team. The offense was exposed.
Absolutely.
Number one, to Jeff's point, which I know disappointed him like hell during this football season, the Pittsburgh Steelers offensive line is never supposed to be bad. Mm. They are never supposed to be in a conversation where we're talking about they don't have the offensive line to get things done. But they didn't. And they have to have a run game. They have to have those pieces. Look at what they did in Tampa. Look at what they did in New Orleans. Look at what they did for Phillip Rivers in Indy. Look at what they did for Peyton Manning in Denver. Do that for Ben, Pittsburgh. And that guy can be
the guy
Jeff Saturday is telling y'all he can be.
Yeah, and remember, Pouncey's retiring too, so another hole they would have to fill on that O-line next season. All right, feels like every time we throw out teams that could be destinations for quarterbacks on the move, the 49ers sneak in there. A lot of that has to do with the pieces around whoever's quarterbacking San Francisco. When they're healthy, as we've seen, Super Bowl is achievable for that roster at full strength. And maybe the other reason the 49ers are a destination for other QBs is there's still a school of thought that says Jimmy G can't be a difference maker there. But how about this? John Lynch, when asked if there's any doubt that Jimmy Garoppolo is their starter if healthy, he said, no, not at all. You can see what else he said. He went on to talk about, you know, obviously he's got to be healthy and this, that, and the other. We've got to surround him and insulate him better. But, Field, when you see this, it's kind of interesting because John Lynch is coming out and making a pretty strong statement. That could mean a variety of things, right? It could mean that Jimmy G is back there, but also could mean something else. And fill us in on that.
Yeah, I was going to say, Laura, and I respect the heck out of John Lynch, who's an excellent general manager. I just have a rule that when a quarterback is at all a question mark,
come on, baby face.
January or February assertions of confidence is anything more than what you'd expect a GM to say. I could reinterpret this quote as, yeah, we're going to keep him, but if you make the right offer, he'd be available in a trade. And we've now reached the juncture of Jimmy Garoppolo's contracts. And here I am again speaking about how almost all of these decisions are driven by the finances, that if the 49ers were to cut or trade Jimmy Garoppolo, they would only take a $2.8 million dead salary cap charge,
Hello.
Which for all intents and purposes means that if they can either find somebody else to replace him or get enough in a trade to make it worth it, Jimmy Garoppolo was a piece that they could reasonably find a new home for. He does have a no-trade clause, but as much as John Lynch and the 49ers could run it back with Jimmy G next year, nothing would surprise me with this team depending on who becomes available the rest of the way this offseason.
I love it, baby face. I love it. I love where you're going because you led me right the way I need to go. Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell y'all the God-honest truth. Like my man Big Perk say, let me address you like the numbers on the house. The number one thing that John Lynch said was, if the right situation presents itself, Jimmy Garoppolo will not be our quarterback. Let Houston call San Francisco and say, we want to play ball. We want to figure out how to get y'all guy. Mm-hmm. Y'all get our guy with some picks. Let that happen. Like, all of this stuff, right, we know it's subject to change. But one important part of what I saw, what John Lynch said, we have to insulate him. That ain't where you want to be, mm-hmm. right? Now, that's the reality for majority of the teams in the NFL. Because sometimes we get it conflicted that we think in order for you to be a franchise guy, you need to carry a team and lift them above, right? It's only a few guys that can do that. But you also have to show up in those moments, right? And for us, that is the question we have and we've had for Jimmy Garoppolo. Is he good? Nobody's questioned that. Can he play the position at a high level at times? Nobody questions that. But John Lynch is the GM, and Shanahan is the head coach. And you better believe if they can get better at the quarterback spot, they will. Mm.
That's the biggest thing, man. All y'all up here bashing Jimmy Garoppolo. He's talking about staying healthy. Listen, when Jimmy Garoppolo is healthy, this team wins games. Like, that's the bottom. Like, you can cut it however you want, right? Like, this is a Dak Prescott argument to me, right? Is that he wins. I don't care how he wins, if it's pretty, if it's ugly, he find ways to win. He took them to a Super Bowl. And by the way, he was one bad throw, and I get it. Yep. It was a bad throw. One bad throw of Patrick Mahomes being over in the Super Bowl, fellas. So talking like he can't take this team is silly to me. Look, I'm not a Jimmy Garoppolo huge fan. I agree with you. He's not the franchise guy. He can win games. And you said, Swagoo, you said the perfect name, Shanahan. Shanahan, with all the different talent he has on that football team, if they all stay healthy, can win. They don't need to go put a ton of money in that quarterback position because that's not what he has to have. Listen, he has won and understands how to run offenses. Jimmy G can get it done. Jimmy G's biggest issue is offseason. Bro, get to the gym, work out, stay healthy, do those things. He does that, this team is a contender.
See, I'm going to call you Jeff Tuesday today because you want to be boring. You're not Jeff Saturday. Saturday is for the weekend. It's for the
boys. I think it's Wednesday, though.
You Jeff Tuesday today. Listen, here's the thing, man. Here's the thing, Jeff. I 100% understand what you're saying. But also, when we look at Jimmy G, we got to be careful when we talk about winning and carrying, bro. Like, let's be honest now. You played with one of the greatest to ever do it. I get it. He in the lineup, they win. But they win because the dudes behind him suck. That's why they don't win when they're not playing, because they suck. The other thing is this, though. We also have to account for the fact that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch was on the sideline when they only threw 8 passes to win the NFC Championship. So there is a lot of, winding road in this conversation with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, let me give you another winding road here. Garoppolo has posted the 5th highest winning percentage since joining the 49ers in 2017, but he's played in just 52% of the games. The health is such a big part of this, too.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
As of yesterday, we're now in the 2-week window where Dallas can franchise tag Dak Prescott. The latest we hear out of Dallas is there is no latest. The sides haven't moved forward in their talks. So here we go again, sort of. There's so much here as we continue to talk about Dak and this situation with Dallas. It feels like a little bit of a broken record because we talk about it all the time. But let's get to everybody here. And we're going to bring in our NFL draft analyst, Matt Miller, as well for this conversation. There's a lot of the draft that plays in. So, Matt, standing by. Let's start with you, though, Field. How might Dak's injury end up impacting these negotiations?
The answer, Laura, is probably not at all. But this was something that I brought up on our conference call earlier today, and I'm simply asking this as a human, not as an NFL insider, reporter, analyst, is Dak had a moment where I'm not sure his football career flashed before his eyes. That was a gruesome injury he sustained last season. Is there any part of Dak's brain that is saying, I am motivated to get a deal done this offseason, not a discount, but that he is saying, my goal this offseason is to get a deal done, more so than getting to the open market next offseason? Because when you go through what he went through last year, it at least makes you think about what life would look like without football. Maybe the answer is no, not at all. I am simply asking the question as a human as to whether that has entered Dak's mind frame at all.
Absolutely not. Feel baby face. No way it's going to him, baby. It don't happen that way. This dude has all the leverage. He just needs to wait it out. He needs to Kirk Cousins them to death, man. Yeah. Listen, there's a saying in my house. You did it to yourself, right? That means you're bringing on the consequences. Hey. Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones brought it on themselves. Dak Prescott is sitting sweet, man. Hey, hit him for $40 million this year, and if they want to do it again, go, baby. You'll get that 100 in 3 years real easy, 120, whatever the number is. But do not hurry this process. Understand, you are still, I mean, think about the five games or four games he had this year. MVP-type level, this guy is playing out of his mind. It was a freak accident. Those things happen. Every player understand it. This wasn't a, hey, man, I'm getting worn out. This was one freak play. When you look at Dak Prescott, man, press the button, go get paid, big man.
Man, look, Dak, go put one of them $1,000 suits on, rub your sleeves like this. Pop your hands out, look at that $30,000 watch you got on your wrist and say, I got all the time in the world. How much time y'all need? All right, because I get it, Phil. I understand you're coming from. Every athlete deals with that thought process when you go through an injury. Like, man, the clock almost speeds up to where you feel this feeling of needing to rush and get something. But Dak is in a special situation because, number one, he's a quarterback.
Yep.
Number two, we've seen quarterbacks come back from catastrophic injuries and go on to have success. The other thing is he's young. He works extremely hard. He now knows his true value, like the rest of the world knows, to the Dallas Cowboys.
Yep.
Too many positives for him to think about the negative part of, oh, I need to rush because I had this ankle injury. If anything, if I'm in this circle, I'm telling them, hey, man, this gives you more validity and validation.
Absolutely.
What you can do. And like he said, the next chapter will be one of the best. So just chill out, Dak, man. You know, you got 30 last year. Sit back on that and see what Dallas going to do, man.
Yeah, to your point, Marcus, I mean, listen, the Cowboys fell off a cliff without him, right? And there's no hiding that when you look
Absolutely.
At their numbers at the quarterback position. Let's get back to Matt here. And Matt, let's say they can't get a long-term deal done with Dak and he's going to be tagged. What do you think the Cowboys do in the draft? They've got the 10th pick.
Well, first they have to hide from all their fans if they don't get this deal done with Dak because you have to bring this guy back, right? Even at 10 overall, Laurie, there's not going to be a quarterback on the board. We don't expect anyway there to be a quarterback on the board who is going to be Dak Prescott, who is a sure thing. As the guy said, this is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Maybe redrafted the entire league. He might go after Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. He's that good. So the options, you can look at Mac Jones, I guess, at 10 overall. You don't want to do that, though. You're really the only way, if they decide Dak Prescott is not our future, you have to tag and trade him, get extra picks, and then you try to go up the board for a Justin Fields or Trey Lance. And as much as I like those guys, they are still not Dak Prescott. They're not proven commodities. They are prospects. Dak Prescott is a player. He is an all-pro caliber player. So really, Dallas has backed themselves into a corner. I like what Mark said, Jeff are saying. They have backed themselves into a corner. Dak can now go get paid because what is their other option? Bring back Andy Dalton for a year? That's not very realistic.
Yeah, and when you talk about the Cowboys and Jerry Jones' pride, which, you know, we know he has a little bit of that, he's probably not sitting there thinking, man, I've got this guy in Dak Prescott who's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I'm going to go and try out one of these rookie guys and see if they do me anything good. All right, thanks so much, Matt. We got more coming from you, and let's get to more on the show here as we carry on. Oh.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Glad you're with us on NFL Live. How about this? The belly checklist. Could it be Marcus Mariota? Jimmy Garoppolo, who apparently is staying in San Francisco, no doubt now. Cam Newton, the draft. Yeah, these are all the questions that the Patriots are dealing with, trying to find a quarterback. And the reality is the market is very murky there right now. But waiting for the dust to settle could be detrimental. Here's ESPN Patriots reporter Mike Reese with more.
Laura, the Patriots have been exploring all their options at quarterback over the last month. The draft, free agency, and trades. Call it a strategically patient approach, but it's an approach that's going to be put to the test as free agency starts in mid-March. The Patriots need tight ends. They need wide receivers. And consider the words of Chargers tight end Hunter Henry when he said recently that he's looking for two things in free agency: money and a good quarterback. Well, it stands to reason that the Patriots are going to want some clarity at quarterback as they consider free agent receivers and tight ends. What does that mean? Could they pry Jimmy Garoppolo away from the 49ers? Consider Marcus Mariota as a trade option from the Raiders, or maybe even run it back with Cam Newton, or consider some other free agents like Jameis Winston. Laura?
Yeah, Mike brings up a really good point there. If you don't have the quarterback in place, Field, it's real hard to sell these guys on coming to New England. So is New England a destination for free agents? It certainly used to be.
Let me start here, Laura, and say that any team that's willing to spend big is a destination for free agents. Let's just run through some recent free agencies and look at the teams that were the desirable places to go. Everybody signed with the Raiders last year. You know why? Because the Raiders paid top dollar. Didn't do them a whole lot of good as they missed the playoffs, we know, last year. But Nick Kwiatkowski and Corey Littleton and Carl Nassib and all those guys got huge money. The Jaguars, they've been winners, and I use air quotes when I say winners of free agency, on multiple occasions. You know why? Because they paid top dollar. If the Patriots are willing to pay top dollar for players, they're going to be in the mix. How things are different now compared to where they were in previous years is if you're a player who's looking for a one-year modest deal because you really want to prioritize winning, well, then obviously after the Patriots went 7-9 last year, you're not going to look at New England in the same way that you would a Kansas City, a Tampa Bay, or a Green Bay. But I continue to believe that the primary factor in free agency that matters is dough, money, pay me big.
Babyface is preaching right now. Listen, all that Hunter Henry's saying right now is nonsense. They make him the highest paid tight end. He'll be a New England Patriot, baby. That's how they are. That's every free agent out there. And whether it's Jonnu Smith, Hunter Henry, Chris Godwin, Allen Robinson. Listen, if I'm the Patriots, that's how I'm going after it. I'm going to get these big name guys. And I'll tell them, listen, we have a plan at quarterback. We don't know exactly how we're going to execute it, but this is what we're looking for. But ultimately, money talks, right? So if when players talk about this thing, Hunter Henry, this is his conversation. But the truth is, you're buying low on the Patriots, which is the way you should do it. If you play the stock market, fellas, that's the way you do it, right? Buy low. The Patriots are 7-9 with a quarterback who couldn't throw a touchdown, with opt-outs all over and injuries and no outside presence. This team can win. Bill Belichick has proven he can win games. He'll bring guys in, revamp this roster. This team has all upside. If I'm going and they pay me, man, I'll be a Patriot, no doubt.
No doubt, man. And I'm glad both of y'all, that's why I love being here working with y'all, man, and so many people. Y'all so damn good, because that is the narrative. The narrative is no longer let's go to New England and win a Super Bowl because Tom Brady is the quarterback. The narrative is the New England Patriots have really good football players on their defense. They have some things to fix offensively, and now they have to build like most of the franchises have had to do over their reign, over their era. The era is over. It's fine. Like, this is the normalcy of football, which most people go through. If you're fortunate enough to draft a Patrick Mahomes or a Deshaun, wait, not Deshaun, because that's a different situation. Dak Prescott. If you're fortunate enough to have an Aaron Rodgers that you draft, then you can obviously choose other directions to go. But now Bill Belichick, the New England Patriots, Kraft, they are in a situation most NFL teams find themselves in at the end of the year. They have to get better on offense. They need skilled position players. They have to get better at the quarterback spot. How many teams have we talked about that need to get better at quarterback, need to get better, add pieces?
Yep.
I'm so glad we can push this conversation forward. Babyface Yates and Jeff Sat, because that was a Jeff Saturday take.
There we go.
They came through with that.
Back to Saturday. All right, let's bring Matt Miller, our NFL draft analyst, back into the conversation here. And Matt, do you see the Patriots taking a quarterback in the draft? They're at 15, so they'd have to do something that they never do and trade up, right?
That's the key. At 15, there are six teams ahead of them that need a quarterback. There are not seven quarterbacks in this draft that will be selected in the first round. So they're really in a hard spot where they won a couple games late. They push themselves out of that conversation. And as you said, Laura, they don't trade up in the first round. Also, they don't have the draft capital to do it. They have seven choices in this draft. They don't have a third round pick. Again, that was forfeited. It belongs to the NFL now. So they're really in a spot where those veterans that we saw, whether it's a Marcus Mariota, Jacoby Brissett is a free agent. Maybe they try to bring him back into the fold, but they find themselves almost in this quarterback purgatory of they were just good enough to not be able to draft one in the first round now.
Is there a late round guy you could see him going after?
Yeah, late round this year means developmental. So not someone that you would feel like this is another Tom Brady where you get him at 199 and he could be a starter. But if they wanted to run back a similar offense as last year with quarterback power, we could see Sam Ellinger at Texas ran a similar type of offense in college where he could run the ball. He's almost like a short yardage goal line back at times, but that's a package, not a quarterback that solves your starting problems here.
Yeah, Matt, the best part about this is that Marcus Spears. Yeah, Marcus, we got like 10 seconds. We're going to have to talk about Sam Ellinger tomorrow on NFL Live. And listen, that's a big tease for tomorrow because
we
Marcus
still
has some
man.
Takes. We'll see you then. Oh, my goodness.
Made it.